end of God's dealing with Job, Job learned something that was vital. He learned something about God that he didn't know before. He saw God as he'd never seen the Lord before in his life. And that's vital. God had to deal with that man in order to show him what he needed. What he needed. And so often when we get converted, we've got the answers. We know it all. And we go forward in our own wisdom and in our own strength, and God keeps pulling back and pulling back and pulling back till you learn something. That it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's the way that it works, and there is no other. And you get brought to the end of the tether, and you understand that I had a misconception all the time. Job was in that category. Listen to what he has to say in Job 42, 1-6. Then Job said to the Lord, I know that you can do all things, and that no thought or purpose of yours can be restrained or thwarted. You said to me, who is this that darkens and obscures counsel by words without knowledge? Therefore I now see, I have rashly uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, I did not know. I had virtually said to you what you've said to me. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of you, and you declare to me. I have heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you. Therefore I loathe my words and abhor myself, and repent in dust and in ashes. I have heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eye see you. And what I see changes everything that I've ever thought, and everything that I've ever desired, and everything that's burned within my heart has been changed because now I see God. Before I saw a lot of myself, I saw a lot of the things that I wanted and the goals that I had and the wisdom that I had. But now, Lord, I understand that all these things were as nothing. They are as dust. Only what is of God abides and endures. It's only what of God that is worthwhile. We are passing through this world, but once we will not pass again. Only what's done in Christ shall last. That's the only work that abides. And this man had to realize that he had to understand that my own understanding of the whole situation was all topsy-turvy. That what I needed from the beginning was a word from God. What I needed was the wisdom of the Lord to speak into my situation so that I would know what I should be doing to achieve the greatest and the highest and the most. That's what God wants for your life and for mine. Can you say amen to that? God wants the highest and the best for your life and mine. And He aims at it all times, and then we come with our words. And this man, Job, had a total misconception. He had a failure to understand. He listened to the reasons of men. He asked questions why. He was the wisdom of this world that came over his lips, not the wisdom of God, not by the inspiration of the Spirit. It arose out of his agony. It arose out of his difficulties, out of his problems, out of his own troubled thinking. These were the thoughts that he was asking. And all the time, God was sublimely going right over the top. And God knew exactly where he was going and what he was about and what he wanted to achieve in this man's life. It is a wonderful thing to know that God has got a purpose for my life. Can you say amen to that? It is a wonderful thing for you to know that God has got a purpose for your life. That it didn't happen by accident. That when he called you that day and you heard his voice, God had a purpose. That's why he called. And that wasn't the end of the calling. That was just the beginning. And he's leading on beyond that point so that you might grow up into him in all things and that you might know the joy that is of the Lord. Job heard God's voice. And men from time immemorial have heard the voice of God. And it was when men have heard that things have begun to happen, when men have understood what it is, the purpose of God is, that's the time when things began to happen. And even the supernatural came in through the front door and then handled power and things that they'd never dreamed of before because they understood what God was saying. It is the universal message. I want to tell you there is no other. It's here. It's all here. There are many religions, but there's only one God, sir. And there's only one universal message, and it is this. that Jesus Christ died for sinners, that Jesus Christ came into the world to bless you and to me, to give us eternal life and to give us power over sin and over the devil. That's why Jesus came into the world. It is the universal message of God. There is no other. Job thought he knew. He was confident in what he thought. Very confident. We were at Paddy Bosman's house yesterday and we were having a discussion, and he was saying how that there was a young man that he knew years ago who was in the same line of business that he was in, and he witnessed to this young man. And he took exception to it, that Paddy should have the trust to come and speak to him about Jesus Christ. And he says, the man came to my house. I invited him in, he refused to come in. And he began to curse God like I never heard anybody cursing God before. He stood in my little lawn and he belittled God and upbraided God and made him little and as if he was of no consequence. He had his day. And he said, a week later, I read his death notice in the newspaper. And it was all over. There was nothing left. All the words were just air, because he'd gone on the wrong side of truth. He got on the wrong side of what God wanted. And he began to do and use the wisdom of this world. And this wisdom of this world leads away from God. It doesn't lead to Him and His purposes in the fulfillment of His will. It is not of God. It is of this world. And as I say, it passes away and goes its own way. This is knowledge, but knowledge of time. And yet the sum total of the wise men of our day turn their backs on God, and they become so wise that they don't need God anymore. He is out of the picture. Yuri Gagarin went out into outer space, was the first man that ever did it. When he arrived back on Earth planet, he said, I looked for God everywhere and I could not see Him. And he did not know that God was all around him. Nature didn't cease out there in space, and creation didn't cease as far as he went. Creation was there before his eyes. The handiwork of God was everywhere, but he could not see. He could not understand. Our sister Effie has just come back from Poland. She phoned me and she said that I was going to a Pentecostal church there. And then she said something that staggered me. She said, the Polish government does not allow the church to preach the second coming of Christ. They're not allowed to teach it. It's out of bounds, and they may not say that it is so. And yet, it is one of the great facts that are coming our way. We see that that is coming. God is moving by His Spirit all over the face of the earth. Hallelujah! Can you say amen to that? God is moving. I want you to come with me to 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 to 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 to 2. Paul speaking. He says, as for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony, evidence, and mystery of the secret of God concerning what He has done through Christ for the salvation of men, in lofty words of eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom. I didn't go down that avenue because it's a dead end. For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ the Messiah and Him crucified. And I passed into a state of weakness and was in fear and dread and great trembling after I'd come among you. And my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, that is a proof by the Spirit of the power of God operating on me and stirring in my mind, in the minds of my hearers, the most holy emotions, and thus persuading them, so that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men or human philosophy, but in the power of God. Yet when we were among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, that is, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden, that it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age, nor of this world, or of the leaders and rulers of this age, who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God, once hidden from the human understanding, and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, that is, to lift us into the glory of His presence. Now listen, None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have understood the value of Jesus Christ and the message that He was bringing. They would never have crucified Him. They would have lauded Him. They would have lifted Him up and glorified His name for who and what He is. For here is wisdom. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning. Why is that the wisdom of God? Because the wisdom of God teaches you fear. It teaches you respect. It teaches you that God is and He cannot be trifled with. I'm not dealing with the man down the road when I'm dealing with God. I'm not comparing myself with my neighbor. I'm dealing with Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is the standard of the Lord. And when any human being who's passing through this world and understands that 70 years are my allotted lifespan, and if by reason of strength I reach 80, I'm going to pass away, and the place where I stood will no longer be remembered, then wisdom says, my God, where am I going? My God, what is there for me down the line? Is it oblivion? I cease to exist. The Bible says that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day and became the first fruits of them that slept. God promises a resurrection to all men, some to damnation, some to everlasting life, but a resurrection all men will have. And I can't go into my grave and hide away from my sins there, but they will follow me. And God will deal with them and He will eventually judge them because they are offenses against the living God. I did not fear and I went and did my thing. And I kept on doing it as if there was no God, as if there were no comebacks, as if there were no price tags on what I was doing. And God knows, there's nothing that you get in this world that is for nothing. There is a price tag on absolutely everything. You pay the full price. You don't take anything for nothing. God knows that. And God wants to work in your life and in my life those works that abide. Those things that are not troubled by the passage of time. I place a deposit in the heavenlies. My treasure is not upon the earth. My treasure is in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt and where men cannot break through and steal, where nobody can take my credit away from me because God is the guardian of my credit and He's got my account and He knows everything about Neil Dreyer. I remember when I was just a young man, full of myself, and I was arrogant without knowing the arrogance and the extent of the arrogance. I did not understand how far I was away from God, how far I was away from that which was right and that which was good and that which was noble and honorable. I had no understanding of these things. And then one night God came into my life, came knocking on the door of my heart, and He changed me in an instant of time and I became a brand new creature in Christ. And suddenly I understood so many things like Job understood. I knew what was happening for the first time in my life. Up to that point of time, I had the wisdom of this world, and it led me astray. It led me into all kinds of experiences that were not good for me. And then suddenly I saw God. And seeing God, I saw wisdom. And I understood that all of these things were empty. They were passing away as if they never were. And the things of God were the abiding things. The Apostle Paul had only one message. He comes to the Areopagus, this place in Athens, place of learning, the center, where people are always asking questions and putting forth new theories. And here he comes along to speak to these people. In the previous chapter, the Bible says that he gave the Word of God to the people. It was God's Word the man was speaking. And the wise men of this world heard of this man, and they said, we would hear what this babbler has to say. This one that stacked together some thoughts of his own. We'll hear what he's got to say. And Paul's got to get up at the Areopagus and he's got to speak in the name of God. And he sets forth God. He says, when I passed by, I saw an altar to the unknown God. Whom ye therefore worship in ignorance, him declare I unto you. And he began to speak one thing. And it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive. Jesus died and He rose again on the third day. This is my message. I know no other. In these days, I'm seeing a lot of wisdom. I'm seeing a lot of things coming from the United States of America, and there are so many ideas, so many thoughts about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's so much. I ask the question, where is the simplicity of the gospel? Where's it gone to? What's happened? People come along and they're so erudite. They're so clever. They were clever in Paul's day. They're clever in ours. This is the most knowledgeable generation of all time. We know more than any previous generation has ever known. And with all our knowledge, we've turned our backs on God. The wise men of this world say, you don't need Him, you evolved from the ape. You didn't come from the creation of God, and you need not concern yourself about these things. I want to tell you, when people start talking like that, I have one answer that comes to my mind. What of Jesus Christ? What of everything that Jesus did and He lived, and everything that He said? What about these things? Jesus is the authority. Here is wisdom. It is found in Him. The Bible tells us that God will make foolishness the wisdom of men. That's coming. It's on the agenda. Let me tell you, it's around the corner. When suddenly all the things that men have built up will come to nothing. We have discovered the human genome, and we can't see the handiwork of God. We don't know where He's at. We don't know how to hear His voice. We don't know how to speak to Him generally. There is a need that is in our world of God that is tremendous. You've got to be blind not to know that we're tobogganing toward a tragedy. You've got to be blind not to understand that God and what He has said is coming to pass before your eyes. We need the Lord. We need His wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The wisest thing that I've ever done in my life was when I got down on my knees outside the City Hall Pretoria in the foyer, and with all my heart I said, God, forgive me. God, cleanse me from all my sin. Give me another chance. Lord, tell me, teach me how to live my life differently. Because the way that I'm living my life now, the way that I'm living this one, is heading toward tragedy. I can see it. Scales were taken off my eyes. And you know, I saw Neil Dreyer. And I saw my God. And the comparison was tremendous. I was right out of my depth. And I understood there's only one that can save me. My arrogance must go out through the door. My self-sufficiency must go out through the door. And with everything that I've got to say, God, I need You. I need Your touch upon my life. I need You to work within me the things that I cannot work myself. Can you say amen to that? I want you to close your eyes. Jesus. Jesus. I've been preaching. It's not what I've been saying that's important. It's what the Spirit of God has been saying to you. What have you picked up here this morning? What did God zero in as I was speaking to you? This is a matter between you and the Lord. It's personal. But I know that God's been speaking from the beginning of the service. And God's been challenging us. Folks, we've got to take God into account. We've got to take into account what God wants. We've got to seek Him and find Him so that He might direct us as a body and direct us as individuals and families so that God's will can be done in our lives. This is what's needed. I want you to reach out toward the Lord as you're sitting there this morning for your need. You know what God's called you to. Cry to God for that thing. Ask Him, Lord, work in my life these things. You know, I can't do it for myself. You can't do it for yourself. God can. Only God can. Allow the Lord to work in your life. Allow Him to work this morning. Right there as you're sitting in your seat and say, Lord, here am I. You know me. You know the date of my birth. You know the time of my departure from this world. You know everything in between. Oh God, help me to fill in the things of the Lord. To do the most that I can. To reach the furthest that I can. Anoint me by Your Spirit, Lord. Use me for Your glory. Direct my steps, O God, because I dare not walk alone. I don't know the way. I don't have the answers. Only You do. O God, bless me. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the lovely name of Jesus as a congregation this morning.
And we need you desperately, Lord. We need everything that you can give. And oh God, we know that they're on tap. That you said in your word that you will anoint by your Spirit, that you will show signs and wonders and mighty deeds of the Holy Ghost. You've said that in your word. Heavenly Father, we're coming to you and we're praying corporate prayer here this morning. We're standing together, Lord. It's not just Pastor Dreyer. It's Pastor Dreyer and the people. We're asking, oh God, that you'll work out your will in this congregation, in these lives. Lord, do things that are altogether different, we pray. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor as we see people being changed, as we see people being reached, as we see the name of God being glorified in our suburb. Lord, in Jesus' name, pour out your Spirit, we pray, that no evil force will be able to stay it, O God, but that it will flow like a mighty river, O God, accomplishing your will. Do it, Lord, we pray. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you're our God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The Lord told me yesterday, in fact, that he wanted this message taped and shared with others. So we've taped it, and there will be copies available for those who want it. But he just gave me, during Neil's message, just a passage of Scripture. And it's important that you understand the context. Yesterday was the first day of the days of awe, the awesome days. And the 9th of October is the Day of Atonement. From that we go on to the Feast of Tabernacles. And in God's calendar, those are very, very important days in any year, but they are particularly important days right now. The days of awe are the days that you're given at the end of the year to get your life right with God. And that is the message that the Lord gave to Neil today. It's really important that you understand that. God is saying, now, not tomorrow, not next week, is the time to get your life right with Him. Because He is about to do a great thing in the earth. Amen. Those of you who've got Bibles, just turn with me to Matthew 24, please. And I'm sure you're familiar with Matthew 24. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I want to take you to verse 9 and the next few verses. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. And then the next passage goes on to speak of the abomination of desolation in the temple. Now there is much happening that you may or may not be aware of. There are threats of bomb attacks in Jerusalem right now. There are all sorts of things happening in the world that are not widely known, many of which speak to the fulfillment of those prophecies. And while I would be the last to say with absolute certainty that we are now on the very threshold of the fulfillment with those prophecies, I truly believe with all my heart that we are indeed at that point. I believe that the message that Neil brought to us very profoundly confirms that which was prayed before the meeting, the words that were brought of them in the meeting before the message, confirm that to me. And I really, really encourage everybody here. You're not here by accident. You're not here just because you kind of thought, well, maybe I'd pitch up today. You are here because God has a very, very, very important message for you today. Today, there's a trite saying in the world, today is the first day of the rest of your life. But today is the first day of the rest of your service to Jesus Christ. Today is the day where you have an opportunity at the beginning of the days of awe, leading up to the Day of Atonement in just over a week's time, to make a decision Will you do what God has called you to do? There's not a person in this room who doesn't know what God has called them to do. The question is, are you in the place that I've just come out of? I've just come out of 2-3 day fasts seeking to get my life right because I realized there was much that the Lord had called me to do that I had been slack and not faithful in performing. The question of the Lord to each one of us today is, will you lay down your life starting now and do all that He's called you to do, no matter what the cost? Will you stop putting your job first? Will you stop putting your interests first? Will you stop putting your hobbies first? Will you stop even putting your family first? Will you do what He's told you to do? Some of you have been called to go and preach the gospel elsewhere in the world. Some of you have been called to ministries that are so out of line with what our understanding can believe that God has called you to do that you're scared to share it with anybody. But God is saying to you today, will you lay down your life and go and do what I've called you to do? Because my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, beyond anything that you can ask or imagine, and I have a plan and a purpose for you. Will you do what I've called you to do today, says the Lord, because you are a vital part of the plan, and I don't have time anymore to mess around with unfaithful people, with disobedient people. I'm calling you today to do what I have for you to do. And that is the word of the Lord for every one of us this morning. So I would really encourage you, and with Neil's consent, that anybody who has received that message this morning, anybody who is convicted of that message, Neil, if you're in agreement, if they could perhaps just come forward and just pray for them briefly. So if there's anybody who wants to just make a resolute, no turning back commitment to go and do whatever it is that right now you know is in your heart that God has called you to do, that you're prepared to say, if I have to resign my job tomorrow, I will resign my job tomorrow. If I have to step out in faith and do whatever I have to do in order to accomplish that which God has called me to do, no matter how big and how wide and how deep it seems to you, He will take you. But He is looking for people who, like Isaiah, will say, here I am, send me. So if there's anybody here who wants to respond to that, please, if you just come to the front, And perhaps Neil and perhaps myself can just pray briefly for you.
Community Church is a Pentecostal church that believes the gospel is the most important message for this and any other generation. I was therefore surprised to read a poster put out by the Mail and Guardian newspaper that the day of the Christian church is numbered. I do not believe that there is any power that can annul what Christ alone could do, and that this message of redemption must be declared to the ends of the earth. To this end, we are producing these tapes for distribution free of charge. If this one has been a blessing to you, please assist us by passing it on. Thank you for your cooperation. God bless you. If you have listened to this tape and it has made an impact upon your life and you realize your need, may I pray for you that Jesus Christ might enter your life and bring about the changes that are necessary. In Jesus' name, pray that God will move by His Spirit upon your life, that your whole future shall be colored by the fact that Jesus is alive and that He's alive and triumphant in your life. May God bless you and use you for His glory. For we need every mouth, we need every effort to bring the message across to those that stand in desperate need. God bless you. Amen.
Foundation for Living Community Church meets at the South African Vroue Federasie Hall, Jack Hinden Street, Pretoria North. It is pastored by Neil Dreyer, an apostle of God, who can be contacted on 012-808-1650. Meetings are every Sunday at 9:30 in the morning at the SAVF Hall. Should you be led by the Lord to sow into this ministry, banking account details are as follows. Account name, N.J. Dreyer. Bank, First National Bank, Branch, Silverton. Account number, 510-3011-9874. Branch code, 2508-4500.
you are free to copy these tapes without restriction and to distribute them as widely as you feel led. Please remember only that each of us is called to account on the day of judgment for what we do with the Word of God. Should you require additional copies of this tape, please contact me, James Robertson, on Johannesburg, that's 011-791-2327, or cell phone 083-251-6644, or fax 011-791-5004, or email jamesr@infodoor.co.za, that is jamesr@infodoor.co.za, and we will make arrangements to get copies of this tape to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen.